So Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. What then will we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Likewise, David also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Is this blessing only for the circumcised then, or is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. In what way then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? It was not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while still uncircumcised. This was to make him the father of all who believe but are not circumcised, so that righteousness may be credited to them also. And he became the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised.
All right, so, well, happy Father's Day. We're going to, as you saw there, I think it mentioned circumcision 12 times, so we're going to kick off this Father's Day, I'm just kidding. So believe it or not, the passage actually isn't specifically about circumcision. It has some other connotation that we're going to go into. Really, it's more about faith. So first of all, welcome here this morning. There's a lot of new faces, so for those that I have not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Jared. I'm one of the elders here. I'm one of our lay pastors at Radiant. And we have been working through a series in the book of Romans. And we are working through, and Paul has kind of started this and written this book. And we're seeing throughout the first couple of chapters where we've been working through this idea of we have to see the depth of our sin, and that highlights the amazingness of God's grace. And we were working through the first couple of weeks, and it just felt like, man, Paul was just hammering and hammering and hammering on this idea. And now we're starting to take a little bit of a turn where we start to see a little bit less about the depth of our sin, and we're starting to see more and more about the grace of God. And we're going to be continuing through this series, and through all of it, we get to see how great a God we serve. So, starting out today, I want to ask you, have you ever received a gift that was just so generous that your first instinct was to protest, no, that is too generous. At least let me chip in toward that. Let me do something to earn it. Often we feel the need to justify in our own minds. Why? Well, because amazing gifts that seem extravagant may make us feel uncomfortable because it feels like we need to earn something. Some of you might be sitting there saying, I don't know about you, Jared. I would love one of those gifts right now. So I get that. But good news, there is a gift like that. And that's the gospel. The good news of Jesus' work on the cross. See, the gospel is a gift that is given in love, not in expectation. And that's at the heart of Romans chapter 4. A righteousness that's not earned. See, that's radical grace. And the big idea we're going to be exploring together this morning is that we are counted righteous by faith, not because of what we do, but because of who we trust. So before we go any further, we're going to take just a second here. We're going to open in prayer. We're going to ask that the Lord be directing and guiding our hearts and minds as we spend this time in his word together this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have this chance to gather together this morning, to open your word, to just get to dive deep into who you are, into the righteousness that has been credited to us, to understand your grace in a different way. Lord, guide our hearts and minds this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, quick recap. Last week, Bob Davis shared with us, and he helped us wrestle through in the end of Romans chapter 3, this tension between the law and grace. He reminded us that the law sets a standard that we cannot reach, and it exposes our need. Grace, on the other hand, is God's unmerited, unearned favor. It's not something that we exploit or treat casually. It's not like we empty our sin bucket at Jesus' feet and go out just to refill it the next week thinking, I'll just come back and dump this out again and I'm good, right? That's not what it is. Grace isn't license, it's transformation. Now, in Romans chapter 4, Paul continues that same line of thought. He asks, if righteousness doesn't come by works, if righteousness doesn't come by the law, then how does it come? When does it come? And what kind of faith is the real thing? So today, as we walk through Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, verse by verse, we're going to be asking those three big questions: how, when, and what. So the first question we're going to ask this morning is, how is a person made right with God? So we're going to be in Romans chapter 4 here, and we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 5 together. So this is God's word, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. What then will we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. So Paul here asks the Jewish believers to reconsider their hero, Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faith for the Jewish people. And Paul's saying, if salvation was ever by works, surely Abraham would be the one who could earn that. But Paul's clear. Not even Abraham could boast before God. It wasn't works that Abraham did that made God pick him. God called Abraham out, and then we see that Abraham believed God in verse 3, and it was credited to him for righteousness. So this word credited, we're going to see this come up 7 times in this passage. And this is actually an accounting term. Even in the Greek, this was an idea that implies something we don't have placed into our account by another. A credit to balance a debt. See, in accounting, on something called a general ledger, and this is going to be super simplified. I'm sorry if you're an accountant. But you have, on a general ledger, you have debits on one side and credits on another. And if you're balancing the books, these two things equal out. And when you come to the end of that, all of the numbers equal out. So it's a credit and a debit. Well, we see this principle in the gospel here clearly. Our sin is debited to Christ's account at the cross. His righteousness is credited to ours by faith. See, God's ledger balances by his grace. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. It'll also be up on the screen. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 says this, "And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross." Tim Keller says, if salvation is by works, then God is in our debt. But if it's a gift, then we are in God's debt. See, unlike an employer who's obliged to pay an employee for their work, God credits his righteousness to us through faith in him. There's a difference here, right? You have a contract with an employer. When you say, hey, I'm going to go in my work, in my time, you are now obliged to compensate me wages. But that's not the message of the gospel. That's not what God has done. There is no work that we can do because God is not obliged to pay us for our good, our work. It is a free gift credited to us. But often we argue, no, God, you don't understand. I have to earn it. There has to be something that I do. So let's ask, what would that even look like, right? If we're having to earn salvation, is this like three good works for every bad one? Or is there some sliding scale where you try to gauge, okay, like, you know, I lied and that was like a medium lie, so now I need to do like a medium good thing? No, that's not anywhere in Scripture. But listen, I don't know about you guys, but I often find myself even trying to do these weird gospel mathematics that aren't really based in the gospel of, okay, well, you know I've been given grace by God, but, you know, these works, these things that I need to do are going to help, you know, just, I don't know, make me righter with God? I know that's not even the right English, and that's the idea. Like, no. God has credited his righteousness to us as a free gift. See, often I do these mental math gymnastics and slide toward living a life of religion rather than living a life for Christ. How often is it that we do that in our own lives? So this first idea, right? How is a person made right with God? The gospel connection here that I want to make is Christ earned righteousness. We receive it because his perfect record is transferred, is credited to our account. So how do we apply that? First, we stop trying to earn what God gives freely. Ask yourself, am I treating my Christian life like a paycheck where God is obligated to compensate me? Or am I viewing that as the free gift of God that it is? The next thing is to trust in the God who justifies the ungodly. See, that phrase, that's not a loophole where, hey, we're ungodly, so I'm going to trust in God, so therefore I'm not ungodly, and haha, look, I kind of snuck through. No, it's not a loophole, it's our only hope. And in our life, ask, what does the scripture say? Is this my word or God's word? What do I have faith in? So we've been mentioning faith a bunch. What is faith? I really like the way that theologian Sinclair Ferguson puts this. He says, faith is the empty hand that receives the gift. Faith is saying, it's not my works. I believe in the work of Christ, and I'm willing to receive that. My kids love to kind of make up their own currency. I don't know if your kids have ever done this. They get like half our printer paper out. They cut it up into nice little rectangular-ish shapes, and they start coloring it, and they draw on it, and they're writing numbers all over it. Well, imagine if that currency was made up, and, you know, my kids like to set some interesting prices on things, right? I asked how much a banana was. They said it was $50. I said, okay, I know we live in Alaska, but that seems a little steep. So imagine trying to then to take this made-up currency and to go pay for a hospital bill. Let's say you had to have a knee replacement. And you take this currency that you've made up, and you go and you try to pay that bill. See, no matter how hard you try, that's not going to cover the bill. My kids' work in making that money can't pay the bill. But Jesus signs the bill with his own name and credits you with the clean record. Your debts are cleared. There's no work that we can do. It's a gift of God, right? So we've talked about the how a person is made right with God. Christ earned righteousness. We receive it because his perfect record is transferred to our account. So the next question is, okay, well, when is someone made right with God? So this is Romans chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 10. God's word says this: likewise, David also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Is this blessing only for the circumcised then? Or is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. In what way then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? It was not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised. There's a lot of circumcision there. So let's swing back to the beginning here. So when it talks about David here, this is pulling from Psalm chapter 32. We're not going to spend the time to be there this morning, but I would encourage you, write that in the margin of your Bible, or if you have the blue book of Romans, just write that down. Psalm chapter 32, go take a look at that. But we see in verse 6, it says, David also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So Paul now brings David onto the witness stand. If you remember, we talked about Romans as kind of like Paul writing a legal argument and document here. So now he's calling David onto the witness stand. We just called Abraham the father of the faith. Now we've got David, right? Remember David? Warrior, king, psalmist, man after God's own heart, adulterer, murderer. And yet he writes, blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. See, there are three verbs of grace there. Forgiven, the record is cleared. Covered, the shame is hidden and gone. And the third is never charged. The debt is canceled. So obviously that means we need to do certain works to be forgiven, right? Covered and never charged, we have to earn that forgiveness. The Jewish people Paul was writing to just knew that was the only way to be part of God's family. It was religious performance through circumcision, right? No. See, Paul turns back
to Abraham to address this when. Because when was this justification enacted? See, in verse 10, he says, how then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? It was not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised. See, Abraham was justified before he was circumcised, before any ritual, before any outward sign. In other words, faith, not religion. See, you don't need to get it together. You don't need to dress the part. You don't need to clean up before God can justify you. You just need Jesus. See, baptism doesn't save you. Communion doesn't save you. Bible memory doesn't save you. Those are all outward signs that come as a result of our faith. Those things aren't wrong or bad, but it is not the works, it is not the signs that save you. And this is what Paul's talking about, right? The Jews were talking about circumcision versus uncircumcision, and can you really be a Christian unless you're first circumcised? Paul is saying here, guys, the father of the faith, Abraham, when was he justified? It was before he was circumcised. And then that was set as a sign and as a memorial and a remembrance of what it was that Jesus had done. You don't need to clean up before you come to Jesus. He calls us just as we are. See, it comes as a result of faith. Faith changes everything. The righteousness credited to you by grace isn't a status you wear. It's a foundation that we stand on. It reorients our hearts. Right, last week Bob talked about that tension between the law and the grace. The law shows the standard we can't keep, exposes our need for Jesus. And that grace we're given, that doesn't give us license to sin. We don't drop our sin at Jesus' feet. Grace changes our desires. It reorients our hearts. So when is someone made right with God? What's the gospel connection with this? God's grace comes first. Grace came before ritual. Abraham was justified before circumcision. See, the same is true for us. God's grace precedes our goodness, precedes any outward sign that we can have in our life. It's His grace first. So how do we apply that in our lives today? The first, don't put your trust in religious rituals. That's not to say that these are bad things. Baptism, communion, memory of God's word, serving, they're signs, they're not the source. Good works are not the source of justification of being made right before God. The next is don't confuse religion with righteousness. Circumcision then is legalism today. Paul is talking to an audience where they're thinking about this idea of circumcision and its observance of the law. Today, you could substitute, as you read that in your thought, living a life where you have all the boxes to be checked off, and that's what makes you right with God. The next is that our status with God is founded in Jesus' work, not our work. John Piper says this, faith is the channel, not the cause of justification. That justification is through the work of Jesus. So to illustrate this, I don't know if any of you have ever bought a home, but there's very specific steps. And part of that process is something called the title search. And in that process, if there's a lien, there's debt, unpaid debt, a legal dispute, it has to be cleared before the property can truly be yours or before the property can be transferred into your name. Until then, you can't take full ownership. Now, imagine something comes up like that, and someone steps in and not only pays the outstanding balance on that debt, but transfers the home into your name, clear title, fully paid. See, that's what Jesus did for us. Our lives were burdened by the debt of sin and of guilt, but Christ pays the debt and gives us his righteousness. He has not only cleared our debt, he has given us a new home. Your name is now on what only he could purchase, and it's given as a free gift of grace. All right, so the third question. What does real faith look like? And this is Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while still uncircumcised. This was to make him the father of all who believe, but are not circumcised, so that righteousness may be credited to them also. And he became the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. We've already seen Paul prove that Abraham was justified before circumcision. Now he draws those implications out. Circumcision was a sign, not the source of justification. It pointed back to what God had already done. It didn't earn anything. It confirmed the faith that Abraham had already received. See, this opens the doors wide. Abraham becomes the father of all who believe. Not just those who are raised in religious systems, but anyone who walks by faith. Back in verse 10, it said, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised, right? Paul's conclusion is simple, but life-changing. The family of God. Is not defined by ritual. It's defined by faith. That means the gospel is for outsiders and for insiders alike. The gospel connection is that the gospel is for all people. It transcends race, ritual, resume. It's not about religion. It's about faith in the work of Jesus Christ. See, you don't have to be spiritually impressive. You don't have to be culturally churchy to belong. You don't need to clean yourself up first. Here's a warning. Faith and trust in Jesus, you're in. And for those who have grown up in the church, here's a warning. There's another ditch. You may be justified, but then you think you need to still look the part after we've received his grace. We feel like we need to keep it together, prove we're white, right, perform for others, fake it. We hide our need. We wear a mask. We try to look righteous instead of trusting in Christ's righteousness. What picture does that paint for those who don't know Christ? When we have been justified, and then we live in a way that portrays, just like these Jews were saying, hey, you can't have a relationship with God unless you are circumcised first. When we know Christ, and we live that way that says, I've got it together. I'm a good Christian. And then we talk to others who are struggling in life, who are slaves to addiction, and they are crying out and they need Christ. And we portray a perspective that is, no, you got to be right. You got to clean up before you come there. Guys, I do this too. I'm talking to myself. Not just to you. That is a ditch that we need to watch out for. See, whether you feel like you're an outsider or you're tired of performing as an insider, this is the gospel. You never earned your place. You didn't. It was Jesus. You didn't earn your place. You don't have to perform to keep it. You belong because of what Jesus has done for you, because of the free gift he credits to us. To illustrate this, think of a child who's been adopted. They didn't fill out paperwork. They didn't prove their worth. They didn't negotiate their way into the family. Someone else chose them, pursued them, paid every cost, and signed the documents. And then everything changed for that child. A new name, a new home, a new identity. Not because of what that child did, but because of the love and decision of someone else. See, that's a picture of the gospel. God adopts us not because we were impressive, not because there's anything that we have done, but because Jesus paid the price to bring us in. So you don't have to earn your place. It's already yours by grace through faith. So where does that leave us? Let's bring this all together, these three points. See, how are we made right with God? It's not by earning, but by believing. Faith is the hand that receives what Christ has earned. When are we made right? Not after religious performance, but the moment we trust in Jesus. His grace comes first. What does real faith look like then? It walks forward, not in self-effort or ritual, but in daily trust and surrender. This is the gospel. Jesus took our sin, credited us with his righteousness, and welcomed us into the family, not because we were ready, but because he was willing. We are counted righteous by faith, not because of what we do, but because of who we trust. So stop striving. Drop the act. Come by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we were made right not by what we do, but by trusting in what Jesus has done. Thank you that you credit us with his righteousness, not because we earned it, but because you are gracious. Lord, help us to stop striving. Help us to stop trying to do the work on our own to earn it. Teach us to trust you like Abraham did, believing even when it feels impossible. Help us to walk daily in faith, not in performance. Lord, for those who feel far off, draw them near. For those who are weary from religious performance, bring the rest of relying on you. Lord, unite us all under the banner of your grace. We belong to you because of Jesus. We thank you for that gift. We pray this in your name. Amen.